Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. You can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 100 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Philip Kinsella and Chris Mays about their book, The Eternal Avatar, discovering who and what you really are beyond the material realm. Philip Kinsella is an author, a UFO researcher, and an abduction experiencer. He is a psychic medium and clairvoyant. He co-hosts a radio show with his twin on the Paranormal UK radio network, and it's called Twin Souls, and it's broadcast monthly. Chris Mays, from a young age, has had experiences of a reality existing beyond this one, including retaining the memory of his incarnation into this lifetime. Chris is an artist, photographer, clairvoyant, and healer. Hi, Philip and Chris. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Simon. Glad to be here.
And Simon, it's great to be here too. Thank you very much indeed.
We're going to talk about your book. It's called The Eternal Avatar, Discovering Who and What You Really Are Beyond the Material Realm. So I've got to ask both of you, perhaps Chris first, how would you define what the eternal avatar is?
Well, a good question. The avatar itself, I think, is the body as we experience life within this realm. And because it's an eternal avatar, we're suggesting that you live beyond the avatar itself, which is heavily mentioned within the book, that we are much more than the physical avatar that we represent and experience. So, and it was a subject matter that just came out of a conversation between myself and Philip and another dear friend of ours over a pint at a bar. And it was just something random that I mentioned. And Philip later on said, "Chris, that sounds like a good title for a book." I didn't realize, but lo and behold, it's in front of us now.
So, Philip, is your definition exactly the same?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And based upon synchronicity, I wondered the question that needs to be answered. And Chris basically gave it to me. I mean, I didn't have that pint. I had a soft drink.
When you were driving.
Yeah. And Chris had the pint. But it was a valid point. And I thought about it. And I wondered, I thought to myself, yeah, because Chris also revealed that he actually remembered his incarnation process. But before we get into that, one of the main areas that was of interest to us both was the big question that, you know, hangs in the balance. And that question is not really answered. We have to look at the concept of what we represent as a human. And avatar is an elevated soul, an elevated spirit that incarnates from another dimension of reality. And we hear a lot about certain masters and gurus that have walked this path that many people see as avatars. But we disagree, both Chris and I, in a sense that we come to the conclusion that we are all avatars, we're evolving avatars, going through a single incarnation and then, you know, elevating onwards beyond this journey of life. So the book figures majorly upon not just about who and what we are beyond the material realm, but also of the big question of those other deities that walked this planet. And we're also taking into consideration other star systems of reality. It's not just Earth-based, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think sometimes people look at reincarnation and life in the universe and think it all happens on Earth. This is the only place you'll ever incarnate. But from my experience of what I've read and seen, people have lives on other planets.
Yes, this is a topic that both Chris and I have spoken about quite a lot. And it's certainly an area of interest that has fascinated me. And Chris will explain a little bit more in a moment. But the question is that when we start looking into this area of investigations, you begin with a kind of like a blank page and you start working on that page, and anything that defies your concept of how you see the world, you know, is challenged. So over the years, you go through a process of transmutation. I've said this before. You change, you alter, because you know there is so much more to this reality. You'll agree there, won't you, Chris?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
So when we're looking at the Earth primarily as the only planet of choice, or so we believe, we're led to believe, we disagree because we also look at memories that people have, not just the reincarnation process from one system and then the other system on the other side, they call it, here on Earth, but also other realities, other star systems. This is important.
Yeah, I had a guest on my podcast recently, and they were saying that they remembered a past life. This was without hypnotic regression, where they were, at the end of that life, they were very old and they were dying, and they were visited by two aliens. So this was a life on another planet, and then aliens to that planet visited them and said, we would like you to volunteer for a life on Earth. We have a mission for you.
Yeah, and Chris recalls amazingly. I mean, I have memories of past lives that have not had any form of regression. But Chris actually incredibly and amazingly recalls his incarnation process, the actual process of coming into this system of reality. And Chris will explain there.
Yes, I can actually. this was a vision, a whole experience that I took many years to discover what it was that I was witnessing as a very young child. Because being so young, I had no idea what I was seeing, what I was being made to see. And that's the definition between one experience and to another, which would be assumed to be a nightmare, so to speak. When you're young, you're going through something that's quite traumatic. It's hard to describe what I was seeing. It started off quite vivid elsewhere, and I was in a place that was very white, very bright, connected, limitless, with no boundaries, and it's just full of energy, and you can imagine. So it's complete opposite to where we are at the moment. And I could hear voices, and I was in some sort of area that I would describe as a leaving area. And I was being questioned as to, are you sure you want to go? Are you aware of what you're going to be facing? And I was sure, I was certain. At the start of this experience, it was clearly a mission that I was undertaking and one that I wanted to do. And it seemed clear to me that I had variable missions that I could take within this lifetime. There's variations of what paths I could take. And I was certain that I could stick to the best one, so to speak, the one that was very positive and one that I could, it's a case of testing my mettle, so to speak. So I knew that I could be true to myself. That was one of the rules, that I could live this life, and with, regardless of all the distractions and with all the darkness that we go through, I could still tap into my source, my God source, so to speak, and be true to myself. And that would be the best one. In all the variations, there was no right or wrong. There was no case of this was a bad lifeline. It was just a variable means to an end, so to speak. Within an instant of being confirmed that I was going to go, I was gone. I had left, and I was in somewhere dark. I was isolated, and I was no more in this energy field, so to speak. And that disconnection was so stark and scary, and I was being pushed and pulled at the same time. So I knew I was going to a specific destination. And that was the pulling sensation. But all the while, I'd been pushed from away from where I was. And I could see in front of me specks. And I didn't know what they were at first until they got bigger and bigger and bigger, until eventually I was immersed and swamped by what was such a small speck was now huge. It was like a planet. I was seeing fields of energy, not literally planets, but objects of matter. And it was just a whole... I was just being pushed through it, pulled through it, and everything that was distant was becoming so much bigger than me. And that feeling of being so vulnerable to the fact that these things could be bigger than me and had influence on me, which was a far cry from where I just left. And all the while, where I left was
falling away. I couldn't remember where I was, where I had been. And all the while, I knew I was going somewhere, which was the only assurance that I had in this experience. And it was just darkness and then light and then bright lights and orbs and ribbons of light and matter. And it was the falling through matter. So it was like I was being made smaller and just a small speck of everything around me. And it was just so frightening. It really was. And I was just going to this speck of golden white light until eventually I reached it, and then bang, it was over. And I just, it was the same thing again and again and again until I knew it was the image and the whole impression of the experience. I was being shown it. It was just, when it was coming on, I could feel like I didn't want to see it. I was saying to whoever it was, I don't want to see this again. I don't want to go through this again. But it was like, no, you're going through this remembrance. And it was just something that haunted me for many years as a child. And I just couldn't put any logic to what it was that I was seeing until I got older. And then I knew it just clicked. The moment I put it into some logical frame of thought and mind, and it just came to me. And I just think, yep, that's what it was. And it just gives me a huge amount of understanding of that this isn't real, so to speak, that there is much more of us on the other side. I think probably 80% of us is still on the other side. I think there's just a small element of us being plugged into this physical body. But yeah, the realization that there are other worlds, other realities, it's exciting. But it's strange to wonder why I picked this one, because it feels so dense, so thick, and difficult. It really, you know, I'm sure it is for everyone. This life isn't always easy, but just I feel honored to have had the experience, because it's given me a sense of assurance that there is more to this, and that, you know, there is logic to the madness. And it's just given me some spiritual insight into us as human beings, as spirits. And so that's one of the portions within the book that I explain in other details as well. So, yeah.
And you say there that maybe 20% of us is on Earth or in this body.
Mm.
And when you say us, what do you mean? That's our souls?
Yeah. So I do believe that, although we're in our heads, so to speak, you can hear your thoughts and you know you're in your body. I don't think all of us as a spirit is in the body. I think a large part of us is still connected to the spiritual realm, so to speak. You know, so it's like only a part of us is now plugged into this human form. I don't think we fully disconnect from the bigger godlike place that we're from. I don't think we're actually truly separated from it.
So if you could use the word soul to describe whatever it is we are, because the word soul's got so much baggage with it.
It has, yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the problems I find in this life, is my interpretation of the words I use could be far removed from someone else's use of a word. So, I mean, yeah, soul, spirit, sense of self, the inner voice, the internal dialogue in your head. It's all multifaceted, isn't it? It's all variations of the same thing. We don't know exactly where all these are coming from. Even certain thoughts that we have that aren't necessarily our own. I do believe that angels and spirits talk through to us that we assume are our own, that are ours, but they're actually guidances, you know, forms of information that we gather from other times and other realms.
I was thinking that if there's 20% of your soul that's in you right now, and maybe the soul could have 5% of itself in another life and 10% in another life. Because I suppose in the afterlife, like people who have near-death experiences say time doesn't exist on the other side.
Yes, that's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, we can only, you know, theorize with regards to that. But it's interesting. And this has opened up a whole new dimension of thought, literally. I mean, going back in the day when I was very much involved in the UFO research, never really understanding that the psychic component within myself would activate. And even going forward and, becoming what we call a medium, I prefer the word translator, the same as Chris. And also taking into consideration the connections that you have with spirits. I'd rather use the word spirit more than soul. I mean, there's arguments about one to the other, but look, we're not going to really know for sure. But I believe that the concept of alternate lives is very interesting. And I have spoken to Chris on a number of occasions about numerous visions that I continuously have of me having another life somewhere else. I was traveling back from seeing a UFO research with my brother. I was driving. I was in the car. It was dark. It started to rain. And all of a sudden, I was in this other life that I seemed to know at that point within that time, where I was in a car. I had a partner. I had an apartment. I was happy. I was, you know, everything was tickety-boo. But when that happened, there was another memory of when we come back from South Africa in Luton, when Luton was, a nice place to live. We lived in an old Victorian house, but there was this place where we had like a fair. It was like a fair, and there were boats out there. And that memory of that life seemed to connect with the experience that I had in Luton, and how on earth that could make a connection, I don't know. So I believe it's interesting. Chris's concept, I believe, is correct, because, you know, we must still have a connection to our higher self on some level. I always have this vision, this fantasy that when we wake up on the other side, it's like there are people there and it's like, it's okay. You know, you've been through a traumatic experience. And this came about also from, of all things, something from Doctor Who. One of the ones that I believe that David Tennant, who starred as the Doctor, and basically these people, these army guys and lasses were being, shot by Daleks, and the army were trying to kill them. It was a modern take of it. And there was this one lady who was in armor and had been shot by a Dalek, and she was dramatically screaming so loudly, like, and then all of a sudden her scream died out because she then found herself appearing in heaven. And there was one character that said, "Oh, you've made it." It's like, you know, you've got to look at the kind of humor with this. So it is interesting, I believe, that there is an awakening. And I remembered seeing what I believe is the other side on two occasions within this life. And one of those episodes was activated when I nearly drowned in South Africa. And I had an experience then. And when you're trying to describe with human words what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, it's very hard. But I will say that although I have no memory of coming in to this life, unlike Chris that remembers that, and I kind of understand, his experience. And it's interesting to know that, you know, he was taking this choice to become a better version of himself, a larger version of himself. So perhaps there are key elements that we decide when we're on the other side. But the thing is, it's the amnesia which normally happens. But I believe that sometimes we're able to break through a certain memory. So I do remember seeing the other side. And I believe that when you've been touched by this singularity, there is an opening within the human psyche. So basically, when you've been touched by the phenomena, you're forever open. And as we're recording this life through consciousness, through the biological brain, which is a transmitter and receiver, I believe that's what's happening is that although we're creating the memories from this life, those other memories that are stored within the etheric body, the second body, the astral body, can sometimes filter through and disorientate us momentarily before coming back. So it's interesting, I believe, that within the process of death, there is a complete severance of consciousness that's filtering on a low level of awareness, and then you become universal. So it makes sense that there's a part of us, as Chris says, that is on the other side, and that through the awakening or the process of awakening, it's like it's okay. You've made it. You've come home, because where I was when I nearly drowned, I had drowned. There was a guy trying to resuscitate me. Afterwards, when I came back from the experience, it was okay. It was just like the most peaceful experience I'd ever had in my life. But I was a kid. So, you know, trying to understand that you are having an experience or a near-death experience is kind of heavy for a young child to understand. So it took me a long time, like Chris, to work out what actually had happened.
So did you have a classic near-death experience? Did you float over your body and go to a spiritual realm?
Well, I will tell you that when I was under the water, I was I foolishly, in South Africa, they have these outdoor swimming pools, and they are very, very big. They're not like the ones we have here, and they are outdoors. They're not in buildings because the weather is really hot. And me and my twin brother, Ronald, and Philip and Stephanie, another couple of friends, we used to go swimming when any, you know, the availability came. We're always, I love swimming. And I managed to get into the adults pool. There weren't many people there. And for some reason, I started to struggle within the deep end. And I'm a good swimmer. I don't know what happened. I just became weak. And as I went under the water, I could see the sun. There was no light to a tunnel. I could see the sun. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I able to breathe when I'm under the water? And it was a peaceful experience. And then the next thing I remembered was that I'm up in the air looking down. I can see a bald-headed man on the side of the swimming pool diving in to someone or something underneath. There was no concern for that. And then the next thing I remembered was that I was in this beautiful garden. And this garden was, there's no words. There was this wall and a creeper on a wall. There was this kind of building in the distance, but everything was so visual. And I remembered looking at the wall and the creeper, and then as soon as I could see water, and my vision was drawn to this water, this bit of, you know, a droplet on this leaf, and I could see it very clearly. And then I remembered seeing this big building with glass, and I knew that this building had some connection with me on some level. I didn't enter the building, but it was as if I knew that that building was home to me, that everything of me was there. It's hard to explain. And then I remembered seeing this world, and it was full of rock. And my home, my literal home, was made of rock. It's hard to describe, but when I was in this place, it was the most incredible feeling of connection. It's hard to explain. I remember looking up at this huge rock formation that was my home, and there was this real pang within me, like, wow, this is where I belong. Everything else was of darkness. The earth was of darkness. It didn't bother me at all. But this connection really was so amazing. There was another time where I had another experience, and that's another story altogether. But just keeping to where I am here, so I could have been on another planet. People say the other side is another dimension. I don't doubt that, but I could have been on another planet for all I knew. But all I can tell you is that was home. And then I felt like I was being pulled back. And I knew that when I was being pulled back, that I was trying to hold on to the feelings, to the sensations of what I got there. And as I'm being pulled back, I knew I was being squeezed. So this is a strange experience. This is why I think some people find it hard to describe what they've gone through. And the next thing that happened was that I am standing by an outer part near the swimming pool area, leaning against this, it's like a outer shower thing. It was all colored stone. And there was someone on the floor, and there's a man trying to push the water out of his lungs. He's got him on his back. And again, I'm not even bothered. I'm not concerned. It wasn't of interest to me. Did I know that was me? Maybe, maybe not. But it didn't bother me. And then the next thing that I knew, there was, I was coming round, and the guy that had pulled me out, there were some other people with me, was trying to comfort me. So it was an incredible experience. That I would assume was what they call a near-death experience. But there was no light, there was no tunnel. I just found myself in this world instantaneously. Maybe it's because I was a child, I don't know.
Do you feel that that triggered your mediumship, or did you have kind of things happening before that?
Well, I always knew I was a freak when I was a kid. I can't specifically say yes, I knew I was psychic. I just knew that I was different. I knew there was something different about me because I could see things happening, and then I'd, you know, counseled out by a mantra, no God, no, never God, never, because I thought that I was instigating a thought or a future scenario, and I was creating it. And of course, you hear this time and time again. It was always bad things that I would see happening. So I don't know. That's a very good question. When I got involved in the UFO field of investigations, I had another experience that I'm not going to talk about here that was very negative in 1989. did that trigger the whole thing? No, I'm not so sure that did. So I think, like Chris, and like many other people, it's you're born with it. There is some connection. It doesn't make you special because we're all unique and special, but we're kind of born with that, I think. So that basically there's an opening or a connection, maybe you're operating or vibrating on a different frequency that draws this kind of phenomena towards you. We're not so sure.
Changing the subject a little bit, I noticed in the book that you mention ancient Egypt quite a lot in places, and also the Emerald Tablets. And I wanted to know, the Emerald Tablets are very old, aren't they?
Yes. Of course, the interest of Egypt, I mean, you can see within Egyptian antiquity that within, you know, certain scientific organizations are absolutely adamant that there's a certain timeline of our genesis. And of course, information is coming to the fore to suggest to us that this is not the case, that we've been lied to. And I also, and Chris considers as well, that these archetypical figures, Thoth was of interest because he was a scribe, he was a god, but he also incarnated through light. He didn't go through the normal process of reproduction, of being in the womb. He was created from light. And he was of interest because, you know, he was the keeper of secrets, as it were. So we wanted to make emphasis also about Egypt, about the pyramids, about the Egyptians knowing about the spirit and how that was able to transcend this physical dimension of reality. And something, again, the system is adamant is just all like hocus pocus nonsense, but it's actually there. It's written within, you know, their language, within Egypt, within Egyptology. And it doesn't end there. I mean, if you go back into antiquity, you find that with these certain tablets known as codices are telling us a completely different story. So we wanted to make emphasis about reincarnation, incarnation, and also those adepts that had come into this world and not through the normal process of reproduction as we as humans go through. So that's why we wanted to make emphasis to these other beings. Thoth, we believe, many believe, was an alien, that he incarnated from another system of reality and came to the earth to bring his knowledge to this realm. So this was of great interest to us.
And do you find that what is written in the Emerald Tablets describes stuff that we're looking at now, that they're describing things that we're only just discovering now?
Yes, many will consider that pseudoscience, but if you read within the lines of what Thoth had written, it makes perfect sense. You know, if you go back into Egypt in 1945, when the Gnostic texts were discovered, that contradicted the official version of how the religious ideology wanted people to see it. But we know that there has been rewrites. We know there has been embellishments. And it's just incredible. Chris agrees also. Well, we agree with everything.
You seem to.
Is that, you know, hang on, come on. You know, we've got to look at this also in a scientific way and not the version that we've been given. But unfortunately, through conscious dissidence, the public have been programmed, and you can't upset someone's structured belief system. That's a very dangerous thing to do. But the original narrative is telling us something incredible. And this is why our argument within the book also stipulates the system we serve is trying to denounce that. And we wanted to try and find out why that was. What are they hiding? So the emphasis of the human and the avatar is essential ingredients to our book.
So is there anything in the Emerald Tablets that stands out to you where it's described something perhaps about reincarnation or the afterlife that is what we see now in, like, I don't know, near-death experiences?
Yes, I think it's a reminder to inform us that we are greater than the physical flesh and blood that we are. You know, as above, so below. I mean, everything was written within, you know, not so much tongue-in-cheek, but for us to work it out. They're not just going to give you on a plate. And I know there's a lot of controversy about the Emerald Tablets, but one of the things is, you know, there's no smoke without fire. And of course, when you start digging and researching, you find there's a lot of emphasis about what we are, what we represent. So it's almost like saying it's okay. You may be here in this incarnation. You may have forgotten your true heritage. You may not know where you're from, but all of this will be brought back to you. once you go through a process of awakening, which you, me, Chris, many other people are doing right now. I think Chris agrees there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have the three types of creations. We've got the creation theory, which is God created the world. And then you have traditionism, which is Adam and Eve. And then you've got the New Age, which was, I think, Elena Blavatsky and Carl Jung that spearheaded the New Age esoteric thinking.
That's right.
So it was, you know, it's, so we're dealing with those as well. We're not just throwing one element of the Emerald Tablets, so to speak, into the mix. We're, you know, we're discussing all the theories.
Have you ever wondered what happens after we die? In my new book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, I share 30 incredible stories of people who were clinically dead, some with no heartbeat, no brain activity, yet returned with knowledge that was later verified. These accounts challenge everything we think we know about consciousness and the afterlife. It's available now as an ebook, paperback, and audiobook on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other good bookshops. Again, it's called Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife. And I hope you check it out. Yeah, it's a fascinating book. And I wanted to ask you about the astral planes. Because there's a thing in there, you describe them as a halfway house. What does that mean?
Well, Chris, you explain.
So the astral is another layer to the spirit, to the soul, because we have the etheric and then the astral. And some people will actually have an astral body and that they can use to leave the physical body. And I think Robert Monroe was the one that investigated and personally had the experiences and documented them quite keenly within his research. So yeah, the actual astral body itself can be detached. And I've actually experienced that myself. And I think you have as well, Philip, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so it's basically an energy body that's within the astral field. And so people have recorded seeing their physical body once they've left. So this isn't actually the soul leaving. This is another layer to what we call the many layers of the physical body, because I think when we describe it in the book, we go through the etheric, which is like the glue, so to speak, of how the spirit and the body are here, so to speak. It's like the glue, and the etheric is made up of several colors. And again, we mentioned that in the book.
Yes.
So yeah, the astral itself, people go into different elements of the astral field as well. There's different records of people experiencing good astral planes and negative astral planes. And it's a minefield of information and research if you want to look into it.
Yes, I think when we look at the astral, there definitely seems to be several layers of, and this is of interest to us in terms of research, because the book opens up to the suggestion of a lot of the paranormal activity that's occurring on this planet right here and now, and has been for a very long time, and been divided into certain segments. So you have UFOs in one box, you have cryptids in another box, you have life after death in another. But there is some kind of unity or connection with these things, and I think it's important. So I believe that, you know, Chris mentioned Robert Monroe, a brilliant researcher who had instigated his own out-of-body experiences, and he actually logged three locales. Locale one was very much like the Earth. He detached, he came out of his body, and he could see people. And he even could, if I may use the word, remote influence. So he actually pinched someone and they felt it. on the second locale two environment, he described it as more, not dark, but filled with potentiality. I think this area frightened him a little bit, because you have to be in control of your thoughts. And as we know, thoughts create reality. So he understood that his thoughts had to be very much based upon how he wanted to see his reality. There were negative influences there. He was aware of them. And there were very positive experiences. One of the interesting parts that is embarrassing to talk about was, you know, getting it on with someone over there. And he actually described that it was more fantastic than actually in the physical. So, you know, that part of his thinking that part of the human part hadn't left him at that point. So it's interesting to explore these uncomfortable territories that people don't want to talk about. But what was interesting was locale three, which was another area that was like Earth, but completely distorted. In fact, he found this quite depressing. What's interesting about Robert Monroe is that the military got involved with his research, and people saw that as some kind of like Stargate. They wanted to go in, rather like the film Avatar. And if you think about that, the humans actually had to condition themselves into the body of the avatar in order to exist within their world. And this is not a new idea by any means. Chris and I were looking at the concept of the incarnation and reincarnation process, and as well as other systems of reality. And this may answer the question about UFO contact, you know, why it is that certain people have experiences with these different, you know, aliens, you know, these intelligences from other systems. And if you go back to the Egyptian era, they were very much interested in the Orion star system. This is, again, has been covered by Robert Bovell in his book, The Orion Mystery. I'm sure he's the one that wrote that book. And of course, then started to look at the construction of the pyramid. So the book also argues that all of our history is wrong, literally wrong, and that there is another force, because we talk about this as well too. Again, it's uncomfortable territory, but we have to look at it, that's trying to sway our attention with regards to our true heritage, to our spiritual heritage, to what it means to be human. And this has always puzzled me. I've never understood it. I've spoken to Chris about this. Why there are three categories that people will not talk about. It always hangs in the balance. And this is said in the book, and I've said it again, time and time again. Belief and faith is wonderful to the establishment because there's no scientific conviction to say otherwise. So the system will be quite happy if you're chasing a fairy tale or something that can't be measured scientifically. But the moment you bring something forward, oh no, the system, it doesn't like that. It doesn't want to know that. So this is the big question. Why? Why are we being denied the right to know what we represent? And the book also touches upon evolution and the, as Chris mentioned earlier, and the various ideas about how the formation of the human came into, you know, conception, how that came about. So, you know, it's not just about life after death and about the other side. It's also about questioning, what are we dealing with? Because people aren't asking that question. This is another area that I find really puzzling. Oh, evolution, yes, we evolved from the ape. Oh, yes, we're believing in the Darwin's, you know, theories of evolution. And or the religious interpretation, which is, well, Adam and Eve just was cooked up in an oven and appeared. You know, there's a lot more to this that we're looking into and have been looking into that suggests a different narrative altogether, and one that's very, very interesting and something the system we serve does not want us to know about. So Chris and I wrote this book as a means to show people that you are not just a biological automaton with a sell-by date, that you are endowed with a spirit, for an argument, sake, a soul, and that you have purpose, there is design. And you have to realize that you can unlock these hidden abilities. And you're not just a human, you are an avatar. You're an evolving avatar because you've decided to come into the system of reality and go through this mission called Earth.
And do you feel that we all have a mission to carry out?
I believe we do. I think we have experiences that we choose to accept and go through. And with every one of us has a light. You know, when we speak about the light, I think we mentioned it in chapter 10. We want to bring your light into a dark world, because this world seems to be very dark at the minute. And I've actually interpreted your light as meaning love, inspiration, gratitude, hope, and truth. And I think they're the ones that we all need to connect with and really work on in order to change the world and change ourselves for the better. And we wanted the book to be positive. You know, we mentioned all the things there, which Philip just
brilliantly discussed. But we wanted to tell people you are much, much more, so much more. You're made of stuff that's magic, and the system doesn't want you to know that, and it's going to do everything in its power to press you down, deny you, and it's showing that we are realizing now that we are made of something that isn't seen. It's the unseen. That's where our power lies.
So if we all have a mission, is this something you set up before you're born? Like, I don't know if you have any memory of it, like choosing your next life and having a plan about what you're going to do.
The experience that I had, as I explained that before, it was like there are variations to my life. There, like I said, there was no right or wrong path, but I knew that I had to go through the best one. That was my mission. It was to test my mettle, to be sure that regardless of my source, of my greatness, all our greatness, we have to go through these. It's the unknown. We find our strength through the unknown of what we really are. It's the forgetting ourselves and still being true to ourselves is the key. Because what's the point of going through this if you already know how great you are? It's the forgetting and being still good, still being as best that you can be. And I do think that there are times where there are key cornerstones in your life, the keystones that are true, and you have to go through it.
Yes, I mean, I agree with Chris, absolutely, because, you know, our connection was miraculous, really, and I believe that a lot of people go through this. I also understand that a lot of people that are incarnate upon this earth system at the moment, bless their lovely hearts, you know, they're living their life and they're going through that wheel and they're quite happy with that. I was the same when I was young. And then you have these experiences that come in and knock you and probably wake us up. And that changes everything. So I believe that it's possible that the earth itself is unique, is beautiful. Some people call it Gaia, you know, Mother. They have many names for it, but it is a beautiful system. And when we look at what's going on this planet at the moment, it's terrible. It's absolutely awful. And it's all about money. And it's all about suppression, as Chris mentioned earlier. And this is all wrong. And it feels sometimes like you're going mad because you're trying to tell people, look, we have to look into these amazing subjects that continuously go around in a loop of, oh, Darwinism and, you know, the normal process of evolution through magic. But the codices are telling us something incredible from the past, especially with the antediluvian cultures. It's telling us, it's there in black and white, but people don't want to look at it. It's like, no. We don't want to see what those codices are saying. We want to carry on with the official narrative. And I believe that this has been going on for a very long time, this deception. Because if you go into the past, witches were burned or drowned. And, you know, they weren't evil. What was happening was they were just using their mind outside the box. The system was telling people, don't you do that. That's bad. You need to live a simple life. You need to be educated simply, go out, get a job. You know, toil the soil, don't ask any questions, and then die. So to me, to my mind, and Chris's as well, that doesn't make any sense. So what's happened is the fact that the system that we serve knows a lot more. And I believe that those right at the top of the chain, I'm not talking about the human puppets that are serving their master's needs. I believe that this force, this evil force, and there is good and evil, this is written within the scriptures as well, is still here. But we're just trying to work out what this force is and why they're doing what they're doing. So this also opens up other areas of the Matrix, and people like David Icke and many others have written about us being held as prisoners. I don't believe in all of that. I believe that we have a choice to get out of here, but it's possible that the earth itself was supposed to be Eden, a beautiful place, and it's been corrupted. And many souls are now coming in to incarnate, to awaken, to try to change the course of this amazing human experiment. And I always see that as the human is an experiment. That's how I see it, through its evolution.
Well, there's quite a lot to talk about there. Because there's one thing that I've heard coming up, which you might call the soul trap and forced reincarnation. But in all of my experience, you know, I'm a hypnotherapist. I take people through past life regressions, done hundreds of sessions with people, and I've been taken through past life regression, and I've done 500 interview episodes with people and written a book about near-death experiences. And this thing of a soul trap or forced reincarnation just doesn't fit with anything that I've seen.
No, I agree. Chris, your thoughts on that? We have to cover it because it has been mentioned.
Yes, we have to cover it. And people do report that it's the karma. They use it when they're on the other side. They tell you, oh, you have karma. You have to go back. And that's the trick. I'm not sure. I could see that it's possible. I'm always open-minded. I never like to say, no, that's not true. But if we are in a loop, I do question, well, then who has the power, and why are we not finding that power here? And it seems a very elaborate plan. Who knows? It's one to ponder, really, and to be wary. I think if we do find ourselves on the other side, I personally will close my eyes and ask for God and ask for Source to meet me and not be fooled by this light, so to speak. I would question the light. I'm in two minds with this one. I really am.
Yeah, the thing is, I agree. Sometimes when something is fed as contamination within the narrative that we know already, we have to examine it. We have to explore it. We can't ignore it. And Chris has told me, you simply ask for the true light, the true God light to come forward. And I absolutely believe myself that when I had that experience in South Africa, that I had crossed over and I'd gone home. And there was another time where I was in the training room at work. I was a store trainer and I'd finished the training session. It was a summer's evening. And I remember looking out the window. And the next thing that I knew was that I found myself with a group of hooded people wearing robes, and it was all desolate. There was rocks everywhere. It wasn't the same feeling I had when I'd actually had that experience of feeling like I was home on that other planet or dimension when I was younger. But I could see this long, straight path ahead of me. It wasn't like a path that we know. It's like a dirt track. And these robed figures were like telling me, not speaking to me, but I knew, or telling me in my mind, like, it's okay. You're halfway there. There's no problem. And I remember thinking, hang on, I shouldn't be here. I'm at work. And so there was some kind of bilocation that occurred there. And when I came back, I was literally shocked. So I kind of like went to go and find someone, a female who was very Christian, and explained to her about what I'd had. There was another experience that I had that I'd spoken to her about seeing Christ. So I agree with you. I believe that it's a choice. And I think it would be very hard for a force to churn us round like some factory, like bring you back in again and trick you into coming back onto this side of life. Although I'm not suggesting that that doesn't happen. So we talk about good and evil. This is a theme that has dominated the human throughout its inception completely. Films like Star Wars, yeah, and you name it, they've done it. The themes are there. Good overcoming evil. So when Chris mentioned about his incarnation process and becoming the better version, the larger version, the bigger version, the best that he could be, that makes sense to me, because what you're doing is that if you're coming into a system of reality through the process of incarnation and having your memory wiped, then if you were able to recall your sovereignty beyond the realm that you've decided to come into, what's the point? Nothing will get done. You're not going to evolve at all. You'll just sit there until you pass over. It's the same with people. If they knew about the continual process of our survival beyond the physical realm, if that was made fact, people would be jumping off bridges. You know, sadly, they'll be taking their own lives because they'll know that's fact. So it's a delicate balance of how we're trying to deal with this information that's coming forward, but it's something we have to look into. And the alien part is also interesting. We have to look at that, because the last experience that we had, my twin brother and I, and there were some other people involved on the 9th of April, 2016, with the appearance of those massive circular white UFOs that came in triangular formation. It's been documented. It's all been dealt with. But I wondered, you know, whether or not they are part of my soul group. Have they come back to check up on me and Ronnie? You know, you've got to think about this. And this also brings into the concept of hybridization of you incarnating from a completely different system, because people think, oh, we're in heaven, right? And then we talk with our guides and then we come back down the chute, excuse my explanation there, and incarnate onto the earth. And I'm like, no, it makes more sense to know that there are other realities out there, other star systems that we perhaps originally come from, and we've decided to go on a journey. But I still think it's important that we see the earth going through some form of evolution, important evolution, whether or not there is a new structuring from the other side to create the human as a container for a spark of conscious awareness, a small part of that. Again, I agree with Chris when he said about a larger part of us still existing on the other side, like the avatar going from one to the next when you finished on this side. It's not like you're spinning around willy-nilly in time and space. But that's interesting. So I wonder whether or not the human, this experience we're going through, is a whole new process of evolution where we're trying to work out how to create this body, how to perfect it, and how we can then lead it forward. But I still believe there is another force that's kind of corrupted that in some way. But, you know, good always overcomes evil, whichever way you see it. So, yeah, that's how I'm seeing it.
Well, it's been great talking to you guys. The book is The Eternal Avatar, Discovering Who and What You Really Are Beyond the Material Realm. And people can get that in Amazon and other places. Is that right?
Yes, Barnes & Noble. It's available as an ebook and also Kindle, paperback and hardback. And it's a beautiful book. I'm not being biased here. You know, the illustrations in it and the work that's gone into it. Joshua Cutchin wrote the foreword. And I never would have believed that I would have co-authored this book with Chris. I mean, it's amazing, again, in terms of an idea and how that idea then manifests into a reality, and going back to telling people out there that if you have a dream, you know, do not think about the odds against you. You have to believe that you can do it, and you can. And this is another area that clearly demonstrates how brilliant you are. How great thou art, so to speak. There is a song, a beautiful song, How Great Thou Art. And I think these messages are telling us that you are evolving and you're expanding within your knowledge, but it is love, creativity, and immortality that we seek. That is the big question that we are addressing within our book.
So do you guys both have a website? Or Chris, do you have one?
Yes, I do. It's chrismage.uk. I have on there just a bit about myself and my artwork and about the book, obviously. It's a new stage in my life, so to speak. And meeting Philip was just, well, it was guided, wasn't it, Philip? It just seemed to happen.
It was amazing.
There were coincidences and just, it was meant to happen. I had a spirit literally talking to me saying, meet Philip. Reach out to him, because I've read so many books, but never have I had a book in front of me have lights around it, and I was experiencing things just before reading it, and it was just like there was this. It was just beyond words. It was meant to be. So yeah, it was. It's go on.
No, I was going to say that was Guardians of the Dead. That was one I wrote some years ago, and of course it was incredible. And I believe in soulmates. I believe in the connection. And this is another area we discuss within our book about the connections of other souls on this planet. And it's incredible. It's been a wonderful journey. And I'm very blessed and very grateful, because sometimes you go through life where you're just in a dark hole and you can't see rhyme or reason. And then, you know, you get a wonderful soul like Chris that walks into your life and it's like, no, right, we're going to set things straight.
it's been a blessing.
Yeah, and it's been incredible. I think all of us are avatars reaching out and kind of trying to remember on a deeper level of what we are, where we come from, and our purpose here. Because let's face it, life can be very frightening, because there's a beginning, middle, and end on a physical level. But by giving people the hope, and I've done enough readings to be assured of the fact, and not being cocky here, but there is another side. And it's there, and they don't have a problem discussing this or speaking about it through the way that they communicate through vision and sensory perception. It is there. It's just like walking through a door. They've got no problem. I did have a problem until Chris came along and then straightened things out for me and saying, you don't have to worry. So it's been wonderful. It's been amazing.
Philip, could you give us your website address?
Yeah, I have two. One of them is www.thekinsellatwins.com. That's shared with my identical twin brother. And by the way, Chris has a twin as well. How spooky is that?
Yes, I am a twin. In fact, I've had those nuances where something's happened to him and I've experienced it. So I've had that connection. And again, these are all things that tell me that there is something outside of us that we're all linked to. And yeah, so yeah, we're all twins.
Yeah, and it's incredible, isn't it? The other one is www.philipkinsella.com. Very simple. And yeah, so it just explains about the work. I always say we're all important, we're all connected, and very blessed, very honored to be walking this journey. And thank God I've gone through the process of awakening. And thank God I am connected with these beautiful souls on this planet and that we know where we're going to a degree. And that is with intent, with love, with creativity. And that big question that's always haunted me, immortality. Yes. And I'm sure that a lot of the puzzles are here on this planet, on Earth, and that we're uncovering them. And that excites me more than anything. I could just see myself out there digging away. Get me to the pyramids of Cheops and I'll be digging away down the bottom.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Thank you, Simon. Really enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
And thank you, Simon, again. It's been an intellectual treat. Thank you so much for having us on your show. It's really amazing.
This week, I was talking to Philip Kinsella and Chris Mays about their book, The Eternal Avatar, Discovering Who and What You Really Are Beyond the Material Realm. If you want to hear the rest of this amazing interview, you can sign up to Patreon. When you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you can get an extended episode every month. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is available on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, on Kindle, or on audiobook. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.